AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show with UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, our guest today is Catherine Duncan. Catherine Duncan has been a chaplain for a trauma hospital, a hospice chaplain, and she is now the author of the new book, Everyday Awakening. And you can find out more about Catherine Duncan and her wonderful work at her website, learningtolive.org. Welcome, Catherine Duncan.
Thank you for having me today.
So, Catherine Duncan, what led you to write Everyday Awakening?
Well, it first started, I had a vision of my book about 10 years ago. I saw the book. I told my then younger children and my husband I was writing a book, and they said, oh, great. And then at the beginning, as the pandemic started, I just got a nudging that I just started seeing it. I started seeing the chapters. I started seeing it coming together, and I just dived in writing. Here we are. So, but I would say it was years of being a chaplain and now in my private practice, hearing again and again and again that people are wanting more. People just are searching, wanting to find more peace and ease. And I have five practices I've lived organically through my life. And that was the impetus to starting my book.
So what the word awakening means different things to different people. Mm-hmm. And in my 10th book, Reading the Soul, one of the things that I talk about is where a person is on their soul journey, right? Are you unconscious, which means you're here, but you don't really realize you're a soul? Awakening to me means you're waking up to the fact that you are a soul and you have a soul purpose. And then conscious means I realize that I'm a soul and that I'm embodying and living out my soul purpose. So what does awakening mean to you?
Yeah, in my book, Everyday Awakening, the subtitle is Five Practices for Living Fully, Feeling Deeply, and Coming into Your Heart and Soul. So it's just what you're talking about. How can you move out of your busy, fast-chattering mind into your heart, into your soul, into your essence? I mean, that is our essence, our soul. Can that be your anchor? And that is where, when you're living in your heart, your soul, where we feel the deep peace and ease and aliveness, it's there. So it's learning how to find that within yourself and live from that deep peace and grounding and have that be your anchor every day.
Interesting. Now, you say that you have faced death twice. What happened? And how has that informed your life?
When I was 10 years old and I was just turning 11, I was diagnosed with a very rare childhood cancer. The doctors told my parents, I didn't learn this till later, that I was given a 20% chance to live. I went through very intensive treatment, chemotherapy, surgeries, radiation. And so this was back in the 70s. And they did have chaplains. They did have counselors. No one talked to me. My mother, I would say, was more religious. And she would say to me, you're going to be fine. And that was comforting, but there was no sense of reality of what I was seeing. And I share a little about this at the beginning of my book, but back in the 70s, treatment was a lot of amputation. They had no anti-nausea drugs. It was a lot. And I could feel all of a sudden I was on a tightrope between life and death. I just felt like I was almost, you know, looking over the cliff, and out of nowhere, I started to pray. And prayer to that moment meant nothing. My background Lutheran, we'd go to church occasionally, but I just out of nowhere started to pray. And my prayer was, could I live to be 20? I thought if I could be 20, I would like see the world. And I just started praying. I told no one. And not long after, all of a sudden this peace just poured through my body. It was just like, and it was just a knowing in that moment I was going to live and I was going to be okay. And I wasn't alone. It was this most profound experience and feeling that's been with me to this day. So fast forward, grateful I got through all the treatments, lived a pretty normal life through teenage years. And then I followed the family path, which was corporate path, all my siblings, my father. And in my 30s, I had a near-death experience, whitewater rafting. And again, it was just like a feeling of I wasn't alone. And it was a real turning point where I left the corporate world out of nowhere to study theology. And I thought, I am being called somewhere else, but I needed to just listen and follow this path. So both these experiences were life-changing, and I learned so much about what it means to be alive right now on this earth through going through those experiences.
So in your book, Everyday Awakening, you talk about five practices to awaken your soul. So I think you and I both agree that awakening means to realize that you're a soul and that you're a soul with a body in this lifetime. It's about awakening to the fact that you're a soul. Mm-hmm. Will you outline for us, what are the five practices that you feel help us to wake up to the fact that we're a soul?
Yep. They start with come back to the present moment. The very first practice is you have to come into just this moment. Life is not in our mind. When we're in our mind, we're in the past, the future, we're not even here. So I start with come back to the present moment. The second is connect with something greater. The third is grow your trust. The fourth is embody love. And the fifth is hold openness. And these are, I've lived organically just as starting as 11 years old. I learned at 11 years old what it meant to come back to the present moment. I learned that when I wasn't thinking about having to go back to the hospital to have chemotherapy, if I was just present, I was like, it was okay. I learned so fine-tunedly what it meant to be just here now as a very young person. And also that feeling of there's something more to this universe. This oneness I felt was profound. So these experiences all have come through my life and also working with many people and many patients over the years.
Now, and the fifth was, you said, fold openness.
Hold openness.
Hold openness. All right. Yeah. So I'd like to go through these five practices one by one. So mm-hmm. I think it's quite interesting that your first is about being in the present moment. Just yesterday, I did a healing with a client who's been in horrific pain, and she's on serious prescription pain medication. And what was interesting to me was every time she worked with a healer on her past, like if they went over, you know, again, the abuse she experienced as a child, every time she went into that energy of the past, it just literally brought up all the pain and suffering again, and she would be in much more pain now. So what I did yesterday was I did a healing with her to pull her energy out of the past into the present. Mm-hmm. And so many of us, especially people who've experienced horrific events like you have, like being really sick when you're 10 years old, or somebody who's been abused when they were a child, it's easy to go back into that energy. But what we have to realize, and sometimes we do need to go back into that energy for therapeutic purposes, but when you live there, when your energy is mostly there, you're going to be re-traumatizing yourself and re-experiencing the pain and suffering on a moment-to-moment by basis. Whereas if we can actually pull ourselves into the present moment, now we can go, okay, I'm alive. You know, maybe there's things that I can feel grateful for. Maybe there's things that I can even feel good about, right? I can feel good in my body. I can feel good about where I am in my life. What are some practices that you feel help people pull their energy into the present moment?
So there's a lot of books out there, a lot of writing, live in the present moment, come back to the present moment, which is fabulous. I mean, I'm a ginormous fan of Eckhart Tolle. I think he's absolutely amazing. What I offer in my book is 42 exercises. How do you do it? How do you do it? It's one thing to say, you know, embody more love or share and hold more openness, but how do you do it? So come back to the present moment. I agree with you. It's about how can you cultivate more sense of presence, more being here now versus living when we're in our mind, we're in the past, we're in the future. But really what we are is that witnessing presence, that awareness behind. We can watch what we think, what we feel. So can we just tune into that, just that presence, that oneness right now behind all that? And just a comment about what you just shared. Cultivating present moment. And there, it's a fine line about, yes, the path through healing is feeling your feelings. It's critical, but to go back and keep cultivating the past, can it more be an organic flow of when you're in the present and things get stimulated, letting them flow through then? I mean, there's a fine line of how much I think you know, if you've worked through a lot of trauma, how much do you dwell in the past or just live now and then process the emotions when they come through in that moment? But so in my book, in this chapter, just exercises like breathing, meditation, mindfulness. So right now in this moment, you know, can you feel just, there's so many ways to do breathing, but can you feel your breath coming in? The coolness of the air coming in over your nostrils and the warmth as you breathe out. Can you feel your lower belly expand on the in-breath and recede on the out-breath? Can you feel another moment of just, can you feel your hands, whatever you feel, your hands, your fingers, the energy moving in your hands? When you do that, your mind stops. You can't do both at the same time. So I just give a range of practices to like try to feel what it feels like to be here now, including mindfulness. You know, just one more quick example. Like, let's say in the morning you have a cup of coffee, you have a cup of tea, holding that cup of coffee. And you don't have your phone, your radio, the TV, the news. I mean, there's so many distractions. And you're holding the cup and you're just fully present in the moment is powerful. Physiologically, it changes our actually brain structure. It brings that ease, like, oh, here I am. So there's a lot of exercises I share.
So Catherine Duncan, beautiful. And I agree with you. So many people are just like, well, just be present. Well, yeah, okay, well, how do we do that? And I agree with you that breath work is one of the best because emotions are energy in motion. And we're supposed to feel the emotion, but not get stuck there. So when you breathe through things, you can feel the energy and let it go. Yep. It's helpful also to tell, and you mentioned it, I'll say it more precisely. Your mind can either think or feel. You can't do both at the same time. So as we move into a feeling place, it helps you to bring your energy into the present moment. Even when people are experiencing intense pain, one of the things that you can do is go deeper and deeper into the pain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago, I got trigeminal neuralgia, which is, according to the medical literature, the most painful condition known to man. And I'd gone to the dentist, he damaged my teeth and he damaged the nerves. And if mm-hmm. even a breeze went by my face, it was like, oh my God, I'm in just so much pain. So it really taught me about dealing with pain. And one of the practices when we are feeling pain is to actually bring your awareness deeper into it, right? And ironically, when we go into the experience of what is uncomfortable and look at it as energy, that helps to dissolve it. Now, your second practice that you talk about that helps us to wake up to who we are as souls is to connect with a greater power, or how did you put it?
Connect with something greater.
With something greater. All right. So what are some practical ways that we can connect with something greater?
Before I share an exercise, I want to share years of working with people as a chaplain, years now in my private practice. I want to say my experience is language is limiting. And that's the confusing piece around connecting with, what is that? Some people, something greater. Some people may call it God, Allah, Brahman, universe, higher consciousness, true nature, essence, energy. I mean, the longer I've been on my path, the more I'm just so appreciative of just the breadth of language. And there's not one set right way or right language or right path, but can you open into that, your true nature, that sense of deep connection of oneness in your being? And what is that for you? And I really help people, everyone I work with, and in my book, talk about what is that for you? What does that feel like within yourself? So one exercise, this is something I do every day before I start my day, is I just tune in. I do some breathing, standing, do some breathing, some breath work. And then I say the words, I am, or I say, I am presence. Mm. And I just feel the energy moving in my body. I can feel the vibration. And then for me, the words are, and I, again, I'm so open to this, but historically it's been God, this sense of universal energy. And I call in that energy. I believe we have angels around us. I call in my angels and archangels and guides, and like, vroom, I can just feel that vibrational energy, and I can feel and sense so much around me when I do that.
Beautiful. And I'd like to add to that about how we can connect to something greater. There's basically three ways to think, and I'm going to oversimplify. I can think all about me, you know, I thinking, okay? Then I can look around, it's like, oh, well, there's other people around, you know, maybe my family, maybe my community. Then I can start doing we thinking, you know, what's good for my family, what's good for my community, you know, what's good for people like me. And then I can do all thinking, which is being aware that we're on a planet with billions of other people, we're on the earth, and, you know, that needs taken care of. And so when I do all thinking, mm-hmm. it does help me connect to something greater, right? And it helps me actually act more responsibly. You know, I can think about what's in my interest and what do I want, what do I need. I can think about my family, what they want, what they need. And then I can think about, you know, how can I contribute to the greater good? And in my view, there's three ways to be happy in life: physical pleasure, soul satisfaction, and life meaning. Mm-hmm. And the only way you really get to life meaning is by doing all thinking. Mm-hmm. So it's like, What's the bigger picture? How can I contribute to the higher good? How does even my suffering and what I'm going through enlighten and contribute to the higher good?
And I just, that can you, and I think it's a lifelong journey for all of us, including me, I mean, all of us, and that is, can you grow that sense, that anchor of that sense of we're connected, we're all connected, that deep energy, that oneness? Because our day-to-day life, yes, we use our mind for our work and connecting and scheduling, and that's part of life, of course. But when you're in your mind, when you're in the world, there's so much energy, so much also, I think, fear and division. And when you can take a break and like come in and feel that oneness, it's like, oh, there's just a feeling like all is well in this moment. It's okay. And growing that.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. You're listening to The Natural Healing Show. I'm Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. Our guest today is Catherine Duncan, author of Everyday Awakening. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So Catherine Duncan, author of Everyday Awakening, we're talking about five practices to awaken to our true soul nature. The third one you mentioned is trust. What does trust actually mean to you?
Again, with this chapter, I'm a huge reader. I've read hundreds and I keep reading hundreds of books, but so for so many years, you say, I hear books, I hear people say, trust. Well, how do you trust? And they don't tell you how to trust. I thought I really pushed myself. What does it mean to trust? And here's what I think it means to trust. It means two steps, acceptance and deep listening. So when I say acceptance, it takes from the first practice, come back to the present moment. Can you, again, come back to the present moment with all it is, the good, the bad, a lot goes on in our lives, right? But can you come back to the moment and accept fully just here and now what is happening just in this moment right now? Because when you can accept what is happening, and this takes strength and courage and practice, this is not always easy, right? Especially when we're going through difficult times. But accepting the moment for what it is in this moment right now, when we can do that, then we can hear, we can listen, we can hear where we're being guided. And I have found through my life and the range of experiences and I've lived through, when I can accept the moment and I can hear and listen in, I get so much guidance and I can feel that there's a plan, it's unfolding. I feel a sense of trust that I just strongly believe that is how we can truly grow, learning how to trust in the moment and through each day.
Great explanation. I'd like to add to that, you know, I feel a synonym for trust is allowing. So I'm allowing you to be you. I'm allowing life to unfold. I'm allowing the divine energy to move through me, even if I don't quite understand it with my mind, right? So the opposite of allowing is trying to control. And we try and control everything with our mind. It's like, I got to make sure, you know? And so I would say that, again, trust, a cinnamon for trust is allowing everyone to be as it is, allowing the divine presence to be what it is, and allowing the divine energy to flow through you. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to my clients about trust, I say the only person you ever really have to trust is yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you don't actually have to trust other people, right? And then the analogy that I give a lot is I say, you know, you maybe trust me to do healing work with you, but you would never trust me to hang your wallpaper. You'd be like, that she's just not good at that, right? That's just not what I'm here to do. So as you learn to trust yourself, then you can trust your own inner knowing about, you know, who do I place my faith in about what particular subject, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what practices can you recommend that help people to build their sense of trust?
You know, I want to share one quick story of how I experienced this and then an exercise. 8 years ago, my husband, completely healthy, really athletic, he collapsed. Next thing you know, he's in the hospital. He was in the ICU. They were trying to figure out, you know, his heart and how to keep it going. They actually ended up having to put a external pacemaker on the side of his neck, outside his neck, to keep his heart going. And it was just, you can only imagine, it was a lot. And here I, in my practice, I teach breathing and meditating. And I was just like, I wanted to scream. It was scary. It was a lot. And I remember in the middle of this, I took a break and I went out at the hospital. They had a little balcony area where you could sit outside. I took a break because I thought I need to just like come back into my body right now, because my mind was going 100 miles an hour. And just how could I just calm myself, regulate my body? And I sat down on a bench, and actually one of my closest girlfriends, called me, and together we just breathed. We were just like, I breathed. I felt just my heart. I felt the air moving, the energy moving in my body. And it was just like, it brought me back in into just the moment where I was okay. In just this moment, I was alive. I was okay. It was all right. I felt, and then it was just, and what came with that then was like, just a little bit of room to accept what was happening, but then also to get a sense, like I got a sense he was going to get through this, a knowing, a feeling, a trusting. I mean, I'm just sharing with you, that was an example of just presence, trusting in the moment. So specifically in this chapter, I actually give a range of exercises to help you really come into the moment, to accept the moment, to help your nervous system calm and regulate. I'm certified, for example, in tapping. So I give an example of tapping. Just a takeaway in this moment right now for tapping. An anxiety point on your hand is right between these two fingers. It's called the gamut point. And, you know, just
for our audience who can't see, that would be between your little finger and your ring finger in the tunnel on your hand.
Yep.
So, and you're referring to EFT tapping.
Yeah, emotional freedom technique. And I trained with a woman named Valerie Liss in Minneapolis, who's fabulous. Anyway, you're tapping on this point for 30 seconds. And it's amazing. Just that example. Or you can tap just right underneath your eye. This is an anxiety point right underneath your eyes. I mean, that's one example. You could do alternate shoulder tapping like this to calm, where you are tapping on your shoulder points to calm your nervous system. We know physiologically this starts to help you regulate your body. So I give a range of exercises to help you come into the moment, to feel your body, to come in, to find that just more regulative state.
So a suggestion that I have about how to learn to trust is to take a journal and maybe think about a time in your life when maybe it seemed like bad things were happening, right? It's like, oh my God, this is happening and that was happening. And you couldn't see ahead about, you know, the bigger path. And sometimes I think what helps us to trust is to go back into our own past and realize that, you know, hey, because this happened, I learned to be stronger, or I learned something, or I was in the emergency room and I met the love of my life, right? So learning how to trust involves sometimes realizing and looking back, and it's like, you know, I really was under divine guidance, right?
Absolutely. And I want to add to that. Years ago, this caregiver, and I was seeing a patient at end of life, this caregiver I was working with, lovely woman. And she said to me out of nowhere when we were going in to see this patient, she said, you know, we're carried through to this day. Can we trust that? Can we trust how we've come this far and how it's unfolded and that we're not alone? It was just so lovely.
Yeah. An example that I can give from my own life, long story, and I'll try and make it short. I was in London in 2005, and another practitioner had set up and scheduled 10 of his clients to work with me as a medical intuitive healer on a Thursday morning and in the summer. And so all these people had scheduled their day. I called the gentleman. Anyway, my guidance was speaking to me. I called my friend and I said, you know, I apologize. I really have to cancel, right? And this is like the day before. So everybody, I'm sure, was super upset with me until terrorists blew up the subway. Mm-hmm. And I was not on the subway. None of the people who were supposed to come to see me were on the subway. 50 people died. I think maybe 55 people died that day. I wasn't one of them. None of the people who would have been trying to get to me, right? So a lot of trust is like looking back at, well, what did my intuition say then? Mm-hmm. And even though I didn't happen to realize that, you know, there was going to be a bomb on the subway, I knew enough to get out and to make sure that other people were not there.
Wow, that's a powerful story. I also trust, I think, involves with the deep listening, the mystical. We all have gifts, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, how we get guidance. And I have relied on that for years in my life. When I'm quiet and still, I hear, I see, I get a lot. Every one of us hearing this right now has these gifts, one of them more prominent than another, but it's only when you're still, you're quiet, can you kind of open into what these gifts are.
And with that, let's take another break and listen to one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. We're listening to Catherine Duncan talk about her new book, Everyday Awakening.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Catherine Duncan, in your book Everyday Awakening, you talk about five practices to awaken to our true soul nature. One of these is embodying love. What do you mean by embodying love, and how can we go about doing that?
I would say this is, of all the five practices, also one of the core practices of our essence is love. I think we are love. I think the reason we're here on this earth is to learn to love. I think when we leave this earth, we take with us our ability to love. So in every moment, it goes back to way back to the Marianne Williamson days, her return to love. Are you choosing love? Are you choosing fear? How are you embodying and growing love? And it starts with each one of us choosing to embody and grow love. And it starts with ourselves, self-love. We can't truly, and I believe I'm a huge fan over the years of Louise Hay and her, you know, distillation of all her work. I believe it. It just, you can't truly love another till you love yourself. So my book and this practice, Embody Love, how do you grow love in your heart and soul? How do you grow that love? How do you grow that feeling of love in your being? And I share practices to do this. that are really important. And just I'll jump in. So practices, here's a practice that I did, gosh, 20 some years ago. I remember I grew up in a family, a more corporate family. We did not discuss feelings. I didn't hear I love you much. I didn't hear love. And I got to a point where like, I want to feel more. I want to feel, and I want to feel love. And actually, it's called mirror work. It works, you know. So just, this is one of many practices in this chapter. Looking in the mirror and saying, I love you. You say three sentences. I love you. I really love you. And then the third is, I really love you. And put your name in, first name, full name, whatever. And you do this 10 times, and you do it every day for a month. Mm-hmm. And I coach people on doing this. Some people are like, I can't look at myself, and that's fine. You kind of live into it. But I did this as an experiment myself. It was about 20, 25 years ago. And at the end of the month, doing it every single day, I was like, like I felt this flutter in my heart. I was like, all right, I've been working on this. I love you. I love you. And it really, truly worked, because you're telling yourself, but you're telling your subconscious mind, I love you, and starting to grow that love. So I think mirror work is a powerful practice. That's one of the practices in that chapter.
That's a great exercise. I love that. Here's another one to think about. So this is something that I do. So when we wake up in the morning, okay, however you are, you know, what you're feeling, what you're thinking, that literally sets your vibration for the whole day. Mm-hmm. So if I wake up and I'm grumpy and I'm thinking about everything that's wrong in my life and how much pain I have or how much pain I feel and everything that I think is missing, then that's the vibration. And whatever, one of the things we know in natural healing is whatever you put out is what you receive. So mm-hmm. if I was vibrating lack, pain, suffering, that's what I'm going to experience all day. On the other hand, if I consciously choose to put myself in a state of love first mm-hmm. thing in the morning, to really think about, you know, everybody I love, then that is what I experience. And how I do this, I have a prayer practice every day, twice a day. I do a loving kindness meditation. And I have a group of people that I pray for. And I'm going to do this for Catherine Duncan. So it's very simple. And I'll say, I pray, may Catherine Duncan be well and free from illness. May mm-hmm. Catherine Duncan be safe and free from harm. May Catherine Duncan be happy. May Catherine Duncan be at peace. And when you study loving kindness meditation, there's lots of ways to do it. I happen to pray for, you know, a group of people, a large mm-hmm. group of people, actually. And we can start with ourselves. We can start with people we love. And then you practice sending that out to maybe people you don't know, or people that you don't like, or that you've had disagreements with. And that's a way of letting the energy of love flow through you. One of my yoga students, Eric Schiffman, he had a great saying, be the place that love flows through. It's mm-hmm. good for others and good for you.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much. I'd love to add to that.
Of course.
This is a practice I do every single morning, along lines exactly what you're thinking. I share this with many, many people. And that is exactly how you start your morning, sets the tone for the day. And here it is. It's a gratitude practice. And, you know, we hear practice gratitude, many different ways to do it. Here's how I do it. I wake up in the morning, either wake up or my alarm goes off. Before I get out of bed, I lay in bed and I just have some minutes of gratitude where I think about, oh my gosh, I'm alive. I have a home. I have lovely family and lovely friends. It just, my heart feels so incredible. So I think about it, but then I feel it. So it's just not just thinking, but I feel that love, you know, that love, the gratitude vibration, highest vibrational energy. I let it course through my body and it sets the tone for the day. And, you know, I also then have a few minutes of prayer. And then I will even take it a step further where I'll see the day, like seeing, talking with you today and clients I'm seeing today. And I just see a flow, a smoothness, that like things going well. And I see the day unfold, like just a positive energy. And that's what I do for a few minutes before I start my day every single morning.
Beautiful. Now, the fifth practice that you talk about in your book, Everyday Awakening, to awaken to our true soul nature is hold openness. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by holding openness?
I talk about in this chapter, how do we go with the flow? Mm. How do we ride the waves? Because life, every one of us, none of us escape this, ups and downs and challenges. This is part of being alive. So how can you flow with life versus fighting life? And what does that mean? Yes, in a culmination of these practices leading up to hold openness, but how can you find that flow? It's part of acceptance. It's part of presence, going with the moment. I want to just share one quick story. My mother-in-law, who really was a significant person on my path becoming who I am today, at 65, she was suddenly diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She was given she lived 1 year. It was grave. They couldn't do anything. My father-in-law had asked me, and this is about almost 20 years ago, had asked me if I would companion her to doctors, and she was open to healers, everything. And she just cracked open. She went from being, you know, kind of consumed with life and materialism and all that. And it just dropped away. It's like her soul started unfolding in these days. And I remember I took her to this very well-known healer in Minneapolis named Michael Isaacson. He's incredible. Anyway, Michael said to her, "Are you going with the flow? Are you going with the river? Or are you swimming against it?" I remember distinctly that moment. And she said, "I'm going with the flow." Hmm. And it was so beautiful of seeing just deep acceptance, you know, even up to, I was with her a few days before she died. I was with her when she died. And she just looked at me and she's like, "I'm ready. I'm not afraid." It was just this a deep acceptance of the flow. And that was a significant learning. And from that, I was like, maybe I'll be a chaplain. It was a turning point for me. So can you flow with life? Again, it takes practice. It takes courage. It takes a consciousness where, what am I choosing or what am I subconsciously not choosing? Exercises. I'm trained in Qigong. I have Qigong. Like, how do you do bouncing, shaking exercises? How do you work with energy? I think I'm a huge believer, and I do this every single day in my life, is how I work with energy. I'm very empathic. I'm very sensitive. I get a lot, which is a gift, but I've learned how to work with it. How much energy do I take in? How much do I not take in? Even like that ratio, I'll just tell you a quick snippet. Sensing, feeling. How much are you sensing of the energy or feeling? When we feel and take in everything around us, it can overwhelm our nervous system, overwhelm our being. So I switch that ratio to, I'm sensing 70, 80% everything around me, but I'm only feeling 10, 20, 30. So I'm regulated. I mean, and I talk about in my book, some ways to work with energy, for example, to find your grounding, your spaciousness every day.
Beautiful. I'd like to add, because we're talking about holding openness. And so here's what I have to add to your beautiful stories, is understanding human needs. So there's, among our many needs, there's two things we need. We need certainty and uncertainty. So let's talk about certainty. So I'm certain when I wake up in the morning that I have enough money to, you know, buy food and pay my bills. I'm certain that I can meet my survival needs, okay? And however, and again, when we try to control everything with our mind, and, you know, we want everything to be just so, and all the details in my life have to be just so, and other people have to act a certain way, okay? Because if they don't, I might be not okay, right? So when we get too much into certainty, we forget that we also need uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So it's about one way to be open is to recognize that you as a human being actually need uncertainty. If everything was the same all the time, you would be bored out of your mind and your soul really wouldn't actually grow. It's like try eating the same thing every day in and day out. It's like why there's restaurants, because people need uncertainty, right? And why people go on vacations, because they need to see a different part of the planet. So when we recognize our own need of uncertainty, then you hold the space for like, you know, maybe I need a different way of looking at this. You know, maybe I am right. You know, most of us think that we're right. But, you know, maybe there is another way of thinking about this.
I love that. And I think that opens the door just even when you go somewhere new or you go to a new restaurant or you go travel. There's an opening for something new, a sense of like, ah, a sense of wonder, a sense of like just in that moment. You know, I think that sense of deep aliveness that I talk about in my book, we, every one of us, we experience it. You know, if all of a sudden you hear the wind, you know, rustling in the trees or the sunset over a lake, and there's a moment of like, that we can experience. That is when we feel our soul shining through. And that's how we can experience. I think when we go to new, have new experiences, it opens a door for that.
Okay. So here's a question for you, Catherine Duncan, author of Everyday Awakening. Because you and I, we started this interview by talking about what is awakening. And I think we both agreed that awakening means awakening to the fact that you are a soul having a human experience. Then we talked about your five beautiful practices to awaken to your true soul nature. So here's my question for you. What actually happens to us as people when we do awaken to our true soul nature?
Wonderful question. I think when we really awaken to the depth of our soul, the sense of oneness, we feel this vibrant aliveness, like here I am, just like you can feel that coursing energy, that aliveness, the sense of, I think, what people are searching for right now. You know, we're a loneliness epidemic in the United States. 1 out of 2 people are lonely. People are searching. They're searching, I think, as we've come out of this pandemic where we were all dysregulated. Every one of us endured grief. People, I think, are searching for some peace, some ease, some joy, some like, oh, just that expansive feeling. That's it. And that's where you find it. It's not found in our mind. It's not. It's when we can come into our heart, our soul, you know, feel that vibration, that energy. And every single one of us can experience that right now, today. I'll just tell you, I was with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people as they took their last breath as a chaplain, as a hospice chaplain. And I'll tell you, I saw this so many times where within hours, right before someone died, there was just like there was a sense of like, this is what it is to be alive. And they get it and they understand it. And then they die. And my point is like, can we feel that now? We can. You don't have to wait till you're in a crisis. You don't have to wait till something really, you know, happens that's so challenging, or you're at the end of life. You can feel it now. And it's a choice. And every one of us right now is choosing. You're choosing to be open and grow and feel more, or you're subconsciously choosing not to. And it's a choice we are making all day, every day.
Wow. And first of all, Catherine Duncan, thank you so much for your service as a hospice chaplain. I always feel the hospice people are actual for real saints to do what they do.
It's a calling.
Definitely a calling.
Yeah, it was a calling. Yeah.
What Very a story. Different. And I would summarize it by saying, when we awaken to our true soul nature, I would just use one word, which is happiness.
Yep.
Right?
Happiness, joy. Mm-hmm.
Happiness. So Catherine Duncan, any final thoughts for our audience?
I would just invite anyone who's listening to this to just tune in, be mindful, How are you living your life? What are you choosing? Can you even take the step today to tune into what is life-giving in your life? Are you leaning into what's life-giving? That is guidance. What is life-giving? What's not life-giving? And, you know, can there be a little bit of opening to how you're choosing to live your life each day and know that there really is peace and ease and joy? That is our natural state. That's what how we're called to live. And, you know, what are you choosing?
Beautiful message. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me and my work at catherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Our guest today has been Catherine Duncan, author of Everyday Awakening. And you can learn more about Catherine Duncan and her wonderful work at her website, learningtolive.org. And remember, when you awaken to your true soul nature, you heal yourself naturally and you experience happiness here on earth. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.